NBC News Radio, I'm Betty Nguyen. Parts of the country still suffering from the results of recent severe weather are on the lookout once again this evening. NBC's Jay Gray has more.
Tornado watches and warnings continue across much of the plains and Midwest, where there have already been isolated twisters, and even more severe weather could be on the way. The potential strike zone stretches from the Midwest and plains through the Great Lakes.
Heavy rains associated with severe weather systems have parts of Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois bracing for more flooding. A leader of the Pakistani Taliban has reportedly been killed by a U.S. drone strike. The man is said to be the chief military strategist of the Pakistani Taliban. A U.S. Army staff sergeant charged with murdering 16 Afghan villagers has agreed to plead guilty in a bid to avoid the death penalty. The judge and commanding general must approve the deal. Iran is expected to participate in Syrian peace talks next month in Geneva. The State Department is wary. This is NBC News Radio. Schools are getting a new weapon in the battle against bullies. Greg Tantum has the story.
A leading education technology company announcing today that it will give schools a free and confidential way for students to tell school officials via text that they are being bullied or are witnessing bullying. Blackboard will offer the service for free starting immediately. Text sent through the confidential program will be routed to school officials, will then determine how to investigate.
She's left the door open to future political efforts, but Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann said today that her fourth term will be her last. The Tea Party activist disclosed her plan in a web video emailed to supporters. And a North Carolina man is headed to prison for threatening President Obama through Twitter during the 2012 Democratic National Convention. A federal judge sentenced Dante Jamar Sims to 6 months after he pleaded guilty to one count of knowingly and willfully making a threat to take the life of the president. I'm Betty Nguyen, NBC News Radio.
At American Bullion, we know storing wealth today can mean a safer tomorrow. That's why investors are including gold or silver in their retirement accounts as a hedge against financial uncertainties. Rolling over a portion of your 401k into an IRA to include gold or silver gives your portfolio protection and balance. When you consider that while the Dow Jones has increased 50% in the past 10 years, gold has increased an astounding 500%. Adding gold to your retirement portfolio just makes sense. But when it comes to buying gold, who do you trust? American Bullion has an A rating from the Better Business Bureau and is a leader in its field. They offer one of the best gold guides full of information that's absolutely free when you call 800-479-2177. So get the facts on 401k rollovers and IRA transfers. Call American Bullion for your free gold IRA guide. Call 800-479-2177. 800-479-2177.
Arizona News Radio, a hearing is underway this afternoon for a Goodyear mother of seven. Yanira Maldonado is being held in a Nogales, Sonora jail. She's charged with trying to smuggle packages of pot on a bus. Her American attorney, Dustin Jones, told Fox 10 News.
The allegations that she actually colluded, they used the word colluded with the driver of the bus, which just seems preposterous because they were the last ones to arrive, last ones to sit on the bus.
A mulch fire in southwestern Phoenix metro area continues to burn today. Winds are a problem as smoke is blowing across schools and residential areas. Monitoring stations have been set up, according to Ben Davis of the Maricopa County Air Quality District.
Fires, you never know when the smoke's going to hit you. Right now, I don't smell too much smoke right now. But again, it can waft either way. So that's why we're trying to go on either side of the fire so we can get the monitors up and at least know, let people know what the air quality's like.
Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Cobblestone Auto Spa in Maricopa, an accident North 23rd Avenue north of Deer Valley Road. And in Glendale, an accident 83rd Avenue south of West Bell Road. At Cobblestone Auto Spa, save 50 cents per gallon on gas with the purchase of any Ultimate Full Service Car Wash. Cobblestone also features auto glass windshield repair at all full service locations. Find out more at cobblestoneautospa.com.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, here we go with our big heat up ending May and starting out June this weekend. 101 tomorrow. We end up May with 103 on Friday, and we bring in June Saturday and Sunday with 108. Jim Howell, Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. It's currently 96 degrees in downtown Phoenix. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a Farmers agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Mr. You are out of order!
When I grew up,
you're out of order!
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order!
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order!
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order!
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride.
Welcome to Legalese on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. And for today's show, we'll be talking about a real hot topic, one of those hot potatoes in the local, I guess, state news at least, the issue of the Arizona Medicaid expansion and the delay that is resulting from that and the passing of the state budget. You know, I was saying to my producer earlier, this is one of those issues that personally I think there's kind of a high learning curve on it for most people who may not really be tuned into it. But to help us with that learning curve and probably to provide some serious debate here, we have on the show Representative Andrew Sherwood, who's a Democrat from District 26, joining us by phone. And also my guest in studio for the hour is Mr. A.J. LaFaro, or LaFaro. I just asked you that before the show started. I've already forgotten.
LaFaro.
LaFaro, which, as I was just saying to you, means lighthouse in Italian. In Italian, be LaFaro.
Exactly, Jack.
Mr. LaFaro, or LaFaro, is chairman of the Maricopa County Republican Committee. All right, do we have Andrew on the phone? Okay, we're still waiting for Andrew, so I'll go ahead and get started with you. Why don't you give the audience just a quick background on what this issue is and how we came up to it and why this is such a big problem that the legislature is getting held up on it.
Okay. If I may just set the stage while we're waiting for Andrew. You know, I was elected chairman of the Maricopa County Republican Committee on January 12th. That's a Saturday. On the 14th, the governor had her State of the State in the House of Representatives. I was there on the floor. I was Representative John Kavanaugh's guest. So I was just an earshot away. So when the governor came to that point of her State of the State and said that she was going to expand Medicaid, everybody's jaw dropped. Republicans' jaws dropped out of disbelief. The Democrats' jaws dropped out of elation, all right? And ever since then, this issue, as everybody or people that are, you know, following it, has been the prevailing issue with regards to the state of Arizona. I mean, for so many years.
Yeah, I was going to say, to back up even further than that, this was kind of a choice, at least, that had been coming down the pike for a while, right?
Well, it has been. But, you know, Governor Brewer had been fighting it, you know, adamantly for you know, several years. And then all of a sudden to change 180 degrees on us was a shock to all of us. The grassroots conservatives, the Republicans here in Arizona, we've been fighting her, as you all know, from January the 14th, and we will continue to fight to hopefully prevail and not have Medicaid expanded or Obamacare expanded here in Arizona.
All right, so I guess that's the basic issue is the general problems with as is referred to variously, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act. Is it fair to characterize this as just an extension of that debate? Is the extension of the debate the people who oppose that Affordable Health Care Act and the people who are in favor of it?
Exactly. Latest numbers I looked at this morning were nationwide, 84% of the Republicans oppose Obamacare and Medicaid expansion. Only 25% of the Democrats oppose it. So it's segmented on party lines, all right? Here in Arizona, The latest numbers I looked at, 75% of the Republicans oppose Obamacare and Medicaid expansion. 38% of the Democrats oppose it. So it pretty much aligns with what's going on nationwide.
And you said up until somewhat recently that the governor was in line with the majority Republican view and was against it. So why did she switch?
You know what? We're still asking ourselves that question. I mean, the two U.S. senators from the state of Arizona, the four Republican congressmen from the state of Arizona, the Republican Party at the national level, and the Republican Party here at the state level, and most, if not all, precinct committeemen, majority of the precinct committeemen, which I represent, and Republicans, like I indicated, Jack, are opposed to Obamacare and Medicaid expansion. I don't understand. We don't understand why she has taken this road. It's not a good thing for this country or this state.
Well, you know, I know we're still expecting our Democrat guest to get on the phone here, but so I guess I'll step into his shoes for a moment here and just based on my basic understanding of what the debate is here, I know that those Republicans who have been in favor of this, of the Medicaid expansion, have said that it's an issue of money and of making money for the state, or at least avoiding a cost in money. I'm going to have to ask you to explain that position, at least obviously through your eyes, through your own perspective, probably because you can do it better than I can.
Okay. As the governor's proposing it and the lobbyists and the special interest groups are proposing it to the citizens of Arizona, it's free money, all right? It's money that the federal government, that the Obama administration will give Arizona if we expand Medicaid. Now, understand, Obamacare, unfortunately, is the law of the land. But when the Supreme Court ruled 5-4, Medicaid expansion is an option. It's Medicaid expansion that we are opposing. We can't oppose Obamacare because it's the law of the land. All right? So the governor and her special interest groups and lobbyists are telling the citizens of Arizona that we need to do this. We have to do this for financial reasons. Well, there's been other alternatives and other plans that have been proposed that wouldn't be such a drain on the Arizona taxpayers when this whole thing collapses. And this is a house of cards. Obamacare is a house of cards. Medicaid expansion is a house of cards. Even Senator Baucus, Democratic Senator, Finance Committee, who's not running again, has said that Obamacare and Medicaid expansion is a train wreck. All right? More and more small businesses here in Arizona. As a matter of fact, just found out this morning that the Small Business National Federation of Independent Businesses have come out against Medicaid and Obamacare expansion here in Arizona. This just came out this morning, all right? The small businesses recognize that this is not going to be good for them, all right? So to come back to your question, to answer your question.
And my question was, if you could summarize, you know, the position of the people who are in favor of this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. It's the best thing for the state of Arizona, and financially, it's the best thing for us to do. And most conservatives, most Republicans, the overwhelming majority of Republicans don't agree with that. To take money from the government, we believe in smaller government, lower taxes. Okay, Obamacare and Medicaid expansion is an attempt to socialize our medicine, our health care here in the United States.
All right, we have just a couple minutes here before we got to run to our break, but I know you feel very strongly about this. I know I saw your name in the news recently. I believe you said in the floor of the House that you called the governor a Judas for her position, or the position that she's taken on this issue. So I know you feel very strongly about it. And obviously, it's kind of a stretch then to ask you to explain what the basis for the people who are in favor of this arguing for it is. But I will ask you when we come back from the break here, just to explain, maybe to dumb this down even more for the audience, because as I say, this has become an increasingly serious issue for the state, and a lot of people maybe accept to just simplify it in that basic way to describe it as just an extension of the Affordable Health Care or Obamacare debate. I'm not sure that a lot of people understand exactly what we're talking about. When the opposition, when the people in favor of this Medicare expansion talk about money coming into the state, I'm going to ask you to explain to me as best you can exactly what they're talking about and why that's not such a good idea to have, federal money coming into the state. This is Jack Wilinchek on Independent Talk, Legalese, 1100 KFNX.
If you're one of the 15 million people who want to be free from chronic pain, then you need to experience The Joint, the new revolution in chiropractic care. Feel the difference today for an introductory price of just $19. There's never a need to make an appointment because when you're in pain, you want relief now, including nights and weekends.
Now open at Bell and 75th Avenue and 59th Avenue in the 101.
For more information or to locate a clinic near you, visit us online at thejoint.com.
NARPRO.com, take four.
If you're looking for a great mechanic, go to NARPRO.com. Why? Because all NARPRO.com members are independent, family-owned shops that get to know you, your car, and your budget. NARPRO.com, your link to great, honest auto repair.
Hi, friends. Scott Luther, the King of Gold and Silver. Join my protest against Wall Street and these big bankers who want to steal your hard-earned money.
Listen, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. Ride the Scott Luther Gold and Silver Express to financial freedom by buying silver.
Just buy silver. Turn $5,000 into $25,000, $50,000 into $250,000.
Call 888-551-2646, 888-551-2646, or go to lrccoins.com.
An education lasts a lifetime. If your child's school isn't challenging them and preparing them for the future, apply today for an education savings account and give your child access to the school setting that best meets their needs. 1 in 5 Arizona students are eligible for a state-funded education savings account to pay for private school, homeschooling, or online classes. To find out if an education savings account is the right fit for your child, visit askamomaz.org. To qualify for next school year, apply before May 1st. Visit askamomaz.org.
Hey, it's John Tesh, and you're tuned into the 50,000-watt powerhouse, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Listen to me Saturdays at 10 p.m. or online at 1100KFNX.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Edward Woodson inviting you to tune in to the Edward Woodson Show with me, your host, Edward Woodson. We'll talk business, politics, and the things that really make you mad.
Catch the Edward Woodson Show. Weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. only on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm Edward Woodson, and I'm so mad!
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Gambling in Havana. Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Jack Wilinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And, I want to have a healthy debate there in the first segment about the Medicaid expansion. I was expecting a caller there, Representative Andrew Sherwood. I'm told that he thought he'd be ambushed on the show today here. So I do want to say that I think that's unfortunate because instead I'm going to have to ask my guest here, Mr. A.J. LaFaro, to explain what Andrew's position would have been, which I'm sure I don't know that you can do that as well as Andrew would have done, but that's fine. We'll just wrap up that topic here before we move on to something else. The basic debate there is that Governor Brewer has sided with the people in favor of the Arizona Medicaid expansion because they'll bring a lot of money to the state, is my understanding. They throw out a number like $800 million.
$800 billion.
$8 billion.
$8 billion over 4 years.
Wow. And where would that money come from? I mean, again, I'm having to ask you to explain the position of the other side, but as you've heard it, what's the argument there? Where's that money going to come from?
Comes from the federal government. But who's the federal government? We're the federal government, okay? And we're at a point in time that we've got a $17 trillion national debt, all right? And it's just going to exacerbate the deficit that our children and our grandchildren are going to have to eventually pay off. I don't think they'll even be able to pay it off, all right? It's insanity. Somebody says, well, it's our money, and we should just go ahead and get it back into Arizona. Well, that's the liberal Democrat and the progressive socialist thought process and ideology. I'm sorry, I don't think like that, so I can't represent the progressive socialists and the liberal Democrats on that.
So the position you guys are taking is that it's kind of short-term thinking, because ultimately the money is coming from national taxpayers, I guess, so it's going to be federal money.
Right.
And, you know, it's you know, you can't – I've heard the phrase used, you can't, you know, rob Peter and pay Paul. The money's got to come from somewhere, and it's just going to be a longer-term national tax burden as opposed to a short-term state one.
Yeah. In talking to our congressional delegation, they've indicated to me that – they don't see money past the first year, okay? So you get this program going. You get, say, Medicaid expansion approved, and you've added another 300,000 people to the healthcare rolls, which, by the way, don't misunderstand me. Republicans, all of us here in Arizona, believe that people should have affordable healthcare. Obamacare and Medicaid expansion is not the answer.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's let me just say this one final thing on it, because it's been in the back of my head. It is a tough decision, because you know, if the state foregoes that money, then you know, a lot of people who are under access and need that care may not get it. And you know, the story reminds me of, and I may get off topic here, I may you know, maybe make this a little hyperbolic, but you know, I remember reading a story about, you know, it was during World War II in Poland. And it was about, you know, the Jewish refugees there after the Nazis moved into Poland. They had to leave the towns. They ended up hiding out in the forests. In fact, I was reading about, you know, the area where my family comes from. My family is Jewish, and we come from that part of the world. And the story goes, it was one of the survivors talking about what happened. And after they got forced to go into the forest, they had to, even though they didn't want to, they had to basically raid, you know, regular people, regular towns, just to stay alive. They had to sneak into towns. They had to steal clothes. They had to steal things just to stay alive. And, you know, one of the survivors told a story that he went into one of the little houses there, and he saw a gorgeous fur coat. And he thought to himself, well, you know, I don't want to take that fur coat. I don't want to, you know, steal it. It isn't mine. It's not free. And, you know, so he didn't. And he went back to the camp. And sure enough, he saw one of the other guys there had taken the fur coat, and you know, his own wife ended up you know, nearly freezing to death that night. So the long, complicated analogy here is that that's kind of the situation the state is in. I mean, it can take that free coat, it can take that free money. You know, in a way, I guess all free money is really stolen, maybe from the taxpayers. But you know, it can make that easy decision, and maybe it should, because otherwise, you know, a lot of people under access, a lot of people who need that care won't get it. But in the end, it's a tough decision that nobody really wants to make. Nobody wants to take more money from the taxpayers. Nobody wants higher taxes. Nobody wants the government to be paying for everything. But on the other hand, you know, you see where I'm going with an analogy? On the other hand, it's a tough decision, because somebody's going to freeze. Somebody might not get the care they need. There's really just no good answer there. You know, it's like, do you take the code or do you not? Do you take that free money or do you not? It's just no good answer.
No, I appreciate that analogy, and I appreciate that story. A good descriptor describing the situation. But I will say this to you: I've looked at everybody that supports the Obamacare and Medicaid expansion here in Arizona, and if you look at all of the organizations that are supporting it, most of them don't pay taxes. They're supporting an effort that's going to be paid for by we, the people, okay? So it's easy to support a program that's going to increase the taxes of the taxpayers because they're not having to pay the bill. All right. So it's going to be a tough decision. Yeah. It's going to be a tough fight, and we're going to continue to fight. There was an organization formed yesterday by former senators, state senators Frank Antonori and Ron Gould, and they are waiting. If this gets out of the House and is approved by the House and the governor signs it, then they are going to collect a little over 86,000 signatures to put it on the ballot and let the people speak about it.
I like that solution. I do. I remember I heard Chris Christie was proposing, I think it was with gay marriage or something in New Jersey, to do that there as well. Why not just let the people decide? It's kind of like in a courtroom. You know, I'm a lawyer. In a courtroom, I like it when just you let the jury decide. You know, you don't have the judge who, you know, is just the judge. He's not, you know, everybody's public opinion. You know, you don't have him make the final decision. You leave it to a jury. And I think that's probably the best solution there, is just have the people give the verdict on Medicaid expansion. All right. Well, moving on from that subject, let me ask you, what are the other hot topics here? Of course, I'm talking to Mr. A.J. LaFaro, who is the chairman of the Maricopa County Republican Committee. Check him out at MaricopaGOP.org. What are some of the other hot topics that you guys are involved on?
Well, this legislative session, 51st legislative session, has been a very difficult session, to say the least. I mean, with the Medicaid and Obamacare expansion over our heads, all right, there were some legislation passed, okay? Some of the people's business has been done, but not as much as it could have been done. And I've been down at the Capitol testifying on issues that are very important to me personally and to the Republicans. There's election bills that were – there were actually 74 election bills that were proposed this legislative session. I just came from a meeting of the Maricopa County Elections Department giving us an update on the bills that were proposed and the bills that made it through – and some of the things that may come down the road with regards to law, all right? Much of that legislation was important because if you remember back in the general election, November 2012, before, during, and after, there was a great deal of controversy with regards to the system, with regards to why so many people came to the polls. Why did it break down like it did, all right? So some of the legislation that's been proposed will help alleviate that if, in fact, the governor stops vetoing everything because she can't get her Medicaid expansion and Obamacare expansion through and do the will of the people and get some of those bills signed. Other bills that have been very important, especially to me, are the union bills, as we call it. There was bills going through the session concerning a release time. City of Phoenix is in a heated controversy right now concerning the release time. If you remember correctly, the Goldwater Institute has sued, and actually the judge has ruled in favor of the Goldwater Institute, where taxpayers should not be paying for union business like firefighters, police officers, anybody in the union. They call it release time, where they're actually doing union business on taxpayer dollars, all right? Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue. It's a huge issue.
That's a pending bill, or has that been signed?
That's working its way through. It's, okay. I didn't get a status on that one today. I do know that the Goldwater Institute, the courts ruled in favor of the Goldwater Institute suing the City of Phoenix on that. But City of Phoenix says that they're going to appeal that.
Okay. Yeah. So you weren't talking about a bill here. You were talking about a court decision.
Well, we've got bills going through too to try to eliminate release time.
Yeah,
okay,
gotcha.
We get two separate issues.
Right, on multiple fronts. All right, this is we got to run to a break here. As you can tell by the music, but I'm talking to A.J. LaFaro, who's with chairman of the Maricopa County Republican Committee. This is Jack Wilczek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm Laura Ingram, and lucky you, because you are tuned into the 50,000-watt powerhouse. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Listen to me weekdays at 6 a.m.
NBC News Radio, I'm Betty Nguyen. Parts of the country still suffering from the results of recent severe weather are on the lookout once again this evening. NBC's Jay Gray has more.
Tornado watches and warnings continue across much of the plains and Midwest, where there have already been isolated twisters, and even more severe weather could be on the way. The potential strike zone stretches from the Midwest and plains through the Great Lakes.
Heavy rains associated with severe weather systems have parts of Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois bracing for more flooding. A leader of the Pakistani Taliban has reportedly been killed by a U.S. drone strike. The man is said to be the chief military strategist of the Pakistani Taliban. A U.S. Army staff sergeant charged with murdering 16 Afghan villagers has agreed to plead guilty in a bid to avoid the death penalty. The judge and commanding general must approve the deal. Iran is expected to participate in Syrian peace talks next month in Geneva. The State Department is wary. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a hearing is underway this afternoon for a Goodyear mother of seven. Yanira Maldonado is being held in a Nogales, Sonora jail. She's charged with trying to smuggle packages of pot on a bus. Her American attorney, Dustin Jones, told Fox 10 News.
The allegations that she actually colluded, they used the word colluded with the driver of the bus, which just seems preposterous because they were the last ones to arrive, last ones to sit on the bus.
A mulch fire in southwestern Phoenix metro area continues to burn today. Winds are a problem as smoke is blowing across schools and residential areas. Monitoring stations have been set up, according to Ben Davis of the Maricopa County Air Quality District.
Fires, you never know when the smoke's going to hit you. Right now, I don't smell too much smoke right now. But again, it can waft either way. So that's why we're trying to go on either side of the fire so we can get the monitors up and at least know, let people know what the air quality's like.
Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic brought to you by Village Inn. Downtown Phoenix, an accident off to the side. I-10 westbound west of 7th Street. In Phoenix, a wreck on Thomas Road east of 75th Avenue. In Glendale, a collision on 67th Avenue at West Bell Road. Get a free slice of pie at Village Inn today for Pie Rush Wednesday. Try a slice of their amazing Tin Roof Sunday Pie or the Double Crust Fruit Pie with any dine-in purchase from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. only at Village Inn.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, here we go with our big heat up ending May and starting out June this weekend. 101 tomorrow. We end up May with 103 on Friday, and we bring in June Saturday and Sunday with 108. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. It's currently 96 degrees in downtown Phoenix. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Stay up late. Alex Jones, After Dark, nights 1 to 3 a.m. on Independent Time, 1100 KFNX, the home of the Alex Jones Show. Michael Savage, nights 7 to 9. Independent Time, 1100 KFNX. Catch the Dennis Miller Show, weekdays 10 till noon, on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hey Phoenix, Laura Ingram here. Join me for the full 3 hours of the Laura Ingram Show, every Monday through Friday, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here.
Catch the Laura Ingram Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
Did you know that 2013 will be the best year to invest in real estate? That's correct. 2013 is the year to make extra money. A lot of it. What if I told you that you didn't need a lot of cash or credit to start? Listen, it gets even better. Call 1-800-249-11 and we'll rush you our exclusive unlimited funding real estate success kit. The kit is free and it reveals a secret funding method that lets you profit right now and right in your county without using a dime of your own money or credit. Listen, most people don't know about this program, so if you're one of the first, you stand to profit the most. But only if you take action now by calling 800-200-4911. This is your chance to wipe out your debt and rebuild your retirement. So don't wait. The kit is valued at $97, but it's free for the first 50 callers.
Call Unlimited Funding Program now, 800-200-4911. That's 800-200-4911.
You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
All right, welcome back to Legalese. As I say, now that the audience is properly Mirandized, we can continue questioning. I've been talking to A.J. LaFaro, who's been kind enough to join me in studio here, the Maricopa County GOP chair. Welcome back to the show, A.J.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
And, one of the things I want to touch on, I've seen that you've been called a Tea Partyist, or whatever the proper term is. What is the proper term?
Tea Party member.
Tea Party member.
You bet.
In the media. And is it fair to say you're a Tea Party member?
I was a Tea Party member before it was formal.
Before it existed. Back when it was an actual Tea Party.
Yeah. I'm not that old yet. Go ahead.
All right. So my question is, there's this big scandal here in the with the IRS allegedly targeting Tea Party groups. I'll confess that I do listen to a little progressive talk radio, and I heard somebody on the progressive radio saying this morning this is kind of becoming an old issue, and it really wasn't that serious, and that really, the IRS has a certain right to scrutinize these kind of groups if they're anti-taxation. What do you think? Is this a serious issue, and is there any validity to that point of view?
Well, first of all, it's a very serious issue that the IRS was targeting Tea Party groups, conservative groups, political groups, patriot groups with regards to what they stood for and what they stand for. And I think every American should be seriously concerned with what happened. Now, with regards to the progressive opinion on that, they're going to say that, okay? But, if their groups had been the ones targeted, if their groups had been the ones that had been seriously their rights violated, they would be, screaming, all right? I don't think the IRS investigation is over. I think Boehner said the other day, I'm not going after the people that for resignation. I'm going after people to throw in jail because these are serious issues. Our rights were violated. Okay, they're continuing to investigate. They're continuing to get their information and their evidence, and then let the evidence speak for itself. You being a trial attorney, you it's based on the evidence that's uncovered. During the discoveries. All right.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll admit that the first time I saw this in the news, I thought to myself, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but well, Tea Party, the Tea Party is kind of anti-tax. I could see how, they might just go after the Tea Party because they think they're trying to evade taxes. But I'm sure there's a lot more nuance to this and many good reasons why that doesn't work, and that's not a good reason for the IRS to target specifically Tea Party groups.
Well, what's concerning to me is the underlying philosophy, the underlying culture that we're starting to uncover within the IRS concerning this issue. All right. Well, now, IRS, isn't that the organization that Obama wants to administer our Obamacare and Medicaid with? That's concerning. That's scary. That the organization that has come. That has been discovered, and that they have questionable practices within their organization. And again, I think we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg with regards to this issue. But to have the IRS administer the health care for the country, that's serious and concerning to me.
Yeah, no, given my own dealings with the IRS, and I do some tax work, the IRS is certainly the biggest. It must be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, bureaucracy that the government operates, and it's they claim it's the most efficient because, of course, That might be a little, you know, deceptive because the IRS is the only government organization that consistently makes money. But, you know, it's a tax collector, obviously. But, it is a gigantic bureaucracy. And I think whenever there's a gigantic bureaucracy, bad things happen just through the inefficiency. And, you know, you even see it on a smaller scale with, you know, small businesses, or most businesses are small businesses because they're very efficient and, you know, they can move quickly and adapt quickly. And I think there's a sliding scale between that. And then, you know, you get into bigger corporations where, in my opinion, they just become more increasingly, you know, inefficient, you know, with just the layers and the levels of getting approvals for things. And it goes all the way up to, I think, government, which is probably the worst, where, you know, there's just and also it's an issue of, you know, just being distanced from the bottom line. You know, with a small business, you're immediately reportable to the owner, or if you are the owner, you're immediately reportable to yourself. And then, you know, with a corporation, you're vaguely reportable to the shareholders or the board. And then, you know, the government, the government's reportable, I guess, to everybody. So it's just, you know, the more bureaucracy, the worse. I can't disagree with you on that. If the IRS is going to be administering Obamacare, they probably have too much on their plate, I would think. I'm not sure how that's expected to work.
Well, Obama and his administration and Sebelius, Department of Health Services Secretary, they don't even know how it's going to work. I mean, here we are just a few months away from October the 1st, which is supposed to be the first day of enrollment for Obamacare and Medicaid expansion. All right? And they're not even close to being ready. They're not even being close to being ready. All right? This thing is going to be a disaster. People here in the United States don't understand it. Obama administration are writing the rules as they go, all right? And unfortunately, we've got – and I think what's going to happen is that the American people are going to realize that Obamacare and Medicaid expansion is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and play this out. Unfortunately, we have to wait and play it out and experience the pain from the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I got to say, if nothing else, I absolutely agree with you when you say people don't understand it. I mean, I probably include myself in that group. I'm not exactly sure how affordable care is supposed to work. I'm not exactly sure, even as I was saying before on the show, and I think a lot of people are here with me. You know, I don't exactly even understand how the Medicaid expansion ties into it or any of this. You know, and I don't know how we wound up this particular piece of legislation. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I lived for some time in Great Britain. And there is the way that everything worked is pretty transparent. Their national health care, for good or bad, at least it was simple to understand. Even as an American, even as a foreigner, I just went in there to a doctor, and they wrote me a slip, and it was free health care, and that was it. Again, for good or bad, I know you're probably wincing inside, even though I can't see you doing it, and that's, you probably don't agree with that. But at least that was an easy system to understand. I do not understand what the government is trying to accomplish here, and what, as you say, you know, what how it expects to carry out. The Affordable Health Care Act, it is very obtuse and very, very hard to understand. And whenever you have something that's hard to understand, for example, like the tax code, you end up with a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of complication, and a lot of unnecessary expense. So, you know, whether you think you know, free health care is a good thing or a bad thing, I think it's hard to disagree that just having a complicated system that nobody fully understands, and again, it just reminds me of the tax code. Maybe it's appropriate for the IRS to be administering it. You know, it reminds me of tax code because nobody understands the tax code completely. Even accountants, there's no accountant in the world who understands every single, you know, piece of the tax code or could tell you about it. That's a bad thing. Complicated bureaucracy is a bad thing.
Oh, you're not going to get any.
I'm preaching to the choir.
You're not going to get any blowback from me on that one. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some of the other big issues here. Again, I'm talking to A.J. LaFerro, who's the Maricopa County GOP chairman. And we got about a minute here before we go to the break, so I don't know if we're going to dig too deeply into our next big issue here. But, you know, before early on the show, you were talking about how there's some bills working through the legislature, some union bills. Are there any other big pieces of legislation? And, of course, we've, you know, already touched on the Medicaid debacle. Are there any other big pieces of legislation you guys have been particularly active on or that you want to talk about?
Well, there's one that's going through that the governor is proposing, but all of the cities are against, from what I understand, and that's the tax code that they're trying to simplify the sales tax code here in Arizona. Now, that's not one that I have a great deal of information on or am briefed on or have invested a lot of my time on. So, but that one I know is another big one that she's wanting to get through before she'll sign the budget. She said that publicly.
That's not what you're referring to, Governor Brewer.
Yes, yes. And that's, again, the simplification of the tax code throughout the state of Arizona. And the cities and I think the counties are pushing back on her on that one.
Yeah, well, at least it sounds like a good idea. As I say, simplifying the tax code, I think it's the holy grail of legislation right now. And that and immigration are both just terrible. They're both a mess. All right, this is Jack Wilenchek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The March-April issue of Arizona Sports and Lifestyle magazine is on newsstands and online. You'll find a colorful feature on The Dude, award-winning actor Jeff Bridges, who's rocking out the Mesa Arts Center with his band, The Abiders, as well as stories on comedian Christopher Titus, celebrity chef Adam Richman, and the amazing 2013 Hyundai Genesis. AZ Sal covers it all, from sports and travel to music and dining, online at azsal.com and in print. Arizona Sports and Lifestyle magazine, covering the game of life.
Hi, everyone. It's Eric Miller, and I'm a real estate nerd. I love this stuff. Join me on Saturday at 2 p.m. for the radio open house. There's something for everybody. I'm going to have home professionals and you know, home things, all kinds of homely stuff. Anyway, Saturday, 2 p.m.
Gilbert Hospital offers a no-wait emergency room. Close by at Power and Ray, Gilbert Hospital is your community hospital with the best of what an ER should be. Patient-focused, Gilbert Hospital has been your local community healthcare provider since 2006. When it's an emergency, Gilbert Hospital won't keep you waiting around, and your emergency visit is in-network. At Gilbert Hospital, we put you first. We personalize your treatment and give you the highest quality care in a compassionate environment. Get to know Gilbert Hospital. Visit GilbertER.com.
Sundays at 10 a.m., Phoenix Talkback, the first ever Jewish Chicano radio show. We'll discuss issues related to Mexican Americans and the Jewish people. Phoenix Talkback, Sundays at 10 a.m.
He's the leader you love to listen to.
We the people are still in charge of this country.
Now you'll hear him every day on your radio.
Cain of the Chain.
Herman Cain.
The sources I have for information are unique and better because they're based upon real life experiences.
Herman Cain, afternoons 5 to 7. Right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Jack Wilenchek, and listening to Legalese Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. And my guest here for the entire hour has been Maricopa County GOP Chair A.J. LaFaro. And, you know, some of the things I want to touch on, some of the big topics here before we close out the show. Let me ask you, I saw this one as I was on my break over in San Diego for Memorial Day weekend. I saw there was a ruling in this racial profiling case against Sheriff Joe. And let me ask you, as the chairman of the Maricopa County GOP, what's your comment on that?
My comment on that is that, you know, the judge has rendered down her opinion. And
yeah, I think it was a him, but go ahead.
she. Wasn't it a she?
No, well, it's a
whatever.
He.
Okay.
Whatever.
Anyway, whatever. The judge has rendered their opinion, and they're going to appeal it. Okay? I'm not close enough to the issue, nor did I sit in the jury box, or did I see the evidence to make a comment one way or the other. However, I will say this. As chairman of the Maricopa County Republicans, it's my job to get Republicans elected and keep them elected, all right? And I think that the opponents of Sheriff Joe had an opportunity to defeat him in November, which they didn't do, okay? So this separate issue that they have, that they will have to collect the number of signatures, I think, to be 335,000 valid by tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock.
Oh, really? Is the deadline? You're talking about the recall for the sheriff.
Recall is tomorrow, mm-hmm. All right? That's an abuse of our system. Abuse of our system because the electorate, the citizens spoke in November, and they elected Sheriff Joe, okay? Now, with regards to the case, all right, That'll have to work its way through the courts to find out if, in fact, I was under the impression that the federal government, the Department of Justice, had some similar investigation on Sheriff Joe, and they didn't find any issues with regards to Sheriff Joe.
Yeah, my understanding was this was a privately private lawsuit. I think that's probably a good position for you to take. It's the legal system is what it is, and if somebody's been wronged, they've been wronged, and you know if the appellate process finds that they haven't, then they haven't. But yeah, I didn't realize that recall is ending tomorrow. I guess they've been saying for a while that things kind of dead in the water.
Well, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that they haven't collected enough signatures to trigger it, because it's going to cost the taxpayers at $1.1 million just to verify the signatures. And then if there's enough valid signatures, then you're talking about another approximately $4.5 to $5 million to hold the special election. That's $6 million of taxpayer money that could be going for better things.
Yeah, and again, you know, no matter what side of that coin you fall on, whether you're in favor of Joe or you're against him, and as you point out, of course, being the Maricopa County GOP chair, it's your job to get, you know, Republicans like him elected. But no matter what side of the coin you fall on there, I think that the idea of just having an election immediately – I'm sorry, recall immediately after an election, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You know, it does seem like a pretty clear abuse of the electoral system. Yeah. If a guy can be immediately, you know, recalled as soon as he gets elected, then what's the point to having elections? Moving on from that topic, some of the other big things, you know, we have here to talk about, the Phoenix Council election is coming up. And, of course, as you said before, it's your job to get Republicans elected. So let me ask you, I mean, who's running here?
Well, the city of Phoenix Council election is on August the 27th, with early ballots, early voting starting on August 1st, okay? And there's the even number districts that are up for reelection. Jim Waring, and now please understand that City of Phoenix election is nonpartisan, okay? There
right.
is no D, there is no
That's
R.
That's a good thing to point out, yeah.
Yeah, there is no R or D behind a person's name, okay? Nonpartisan election. But we do have individuals that are registered Republican that are running, just like there are registered Democrats that are working, they're running.
Right.
Jim Waring is running in District 2. Right now, as of this morning's City of Phoenix website, it doesn't appear. They have until, what's today, the 28th?
29th? 29th.
Okay. They had till today, 5 o'clock, to submit their signatures to try to qualify for the ballot. So right now, Councilman Waring appears to be unopposed. Okay.
But that could change in the next 8 minutes, in other words.
That could change in the next 8 minutes, the next 24 hours. That's right. District 4, there's a large number of individuals running in District 4. Scott Fissler is the Republican candidate that's running in that election. But he's got several Democrat candidates running against him. District 6, Sal DeCiccio, the incumbent. Sal is certified to the ballot, and it looks like his opponent is a Carlene Keo Parks running against him in that race. And that's going to be a very, very heated campaign. And then in District 8, it looks like there's two or three individuals that have qualified, and a young man that is a veteran, 25 years service to this country, Luis Rodriguez. Had thrown his hat into the ring late in the game, and hopefully he will have enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. We'll know by tomorrow. But I think the City of Phoenix race is extremely important. City of Phoenix is what, the sixth or the fifth largest city in the United States of America. You've got a mayor, Mayor Greg Stanton, who campaigned and promised, "I'll repeal the food tax. I'll do pension reform." This and this and this. You know, a lot of the campaign promises that Mayor Stanton told the people that he would do, he has not done, okay? We've got serious issues with the City of Phoenix pension program. Pension plans are going to bankrupt the City of Phoenix and the taxpayers if they continue to go the way that they're going. The food tax, why should people here in the city of Phoenix have to pay a 2% food tax and the city of Phoenix employees are getting these huge raises that were just identified by Sal DiCicco in the upcoming proposed budget? It's just unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah, I think the food tax for the mayor is kind of like it's like his Guantanamo. You know, he promised to get rid of that, and it's still there. And I think he's even come full bout, you know, bout face, and decided that it should stay. So that is a serious and serious issue that's still out there, unfortunately. You know, it's funny you point out technically the council races are nonpartisan, but I'll confess I'm not really familiar on just how strict the laws are about that. I wonder there must be a law. I guess you can't even put your affiliation down on the signs, or there must be some law to that effect. But in reality, as you point out, you know, of course they do have party affiliations, and I think a lot of races do end up kind of breaking down along those party lines. I know there was a movement to change that and to allow for primaries. I may have been mistaken. I may have been confusing the issues here. I don't know if there was any movement to introduce primaries into the Phoenix City Council elections. I think I was thinking reverse. I think there was a movement to get rid of the primary system. That's what I was thinking of. And I think Paul Johnson was behind that, which is probably why I was thinking of that.
That was the top two.
Right.
That was the top two legislation that was defeated in November 2012, thank goodness, by the citizens and the voters of Arizona. But yeah. I will say this. I am a firm believer. There is no such thing as a nonpartisan.
That's the point. I guess I'm trying to get into. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think there really is no such thing. And the danger in it then is that you have a lot of people from one party, which I think happened in this last mayor's election. A lot of people from one party. You know, there were four or five Republicans who ran, and then just the one Democrat. And they probably ended up. You know, there were a lot of Republicans that ended up splitting that vote. So although there was a runoff there, so maybe I'm just talking out of my out of my you know what here. But I agree. There's certain flaws with that kind of a race. We've just got just a little bit of time here before the closeout of the show. I guess the other big election coming up, of course, is the 2014 state election. So let's we got 2 minutes here before we got to close out the show.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk about that.
Okay, election 2014 is going to be a lot of heated races in the state of Arizona at all levels. I know there's a lot of candidates coming forward for the governor's race. Some have announced, some have formed exploratory committees. Seems like the Republicans, for whatever reason, we don't clear the deck like the Democrats do. It looks like they may have one, maybe two candidates running for governor. We're going to probably have half a dozen or more.
Yeah, it's that same kind of issue, yeah.
Exactly.
Too many people running one party. Yeah.
And then as you move on down, you got a lot of statewide offices that are up for reelection. And then the state senators and state representative offices. Unfortunately, I got elected to beat Democrats in the general election, unfortunately, because of what the governor's done and divided the party, the Republican Party, with the Medicaid and Obamacare Medicaid expansion debate, is that I'm going to be there's going to be a bunch of primaries where Republicans are running against Republicans because of this issue. So we'll eventually get to the general election, but we unfortunately are going to have to go through the primary hurdle first.
Yeah, I don't know why that seems to happen to the Republican Party a lot. A lot of splits like that. It's not good for the party.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's not good for the party. All right, I want to thank my guest here, A.J. LaFerro, who's the Maricopa County GOP chair. Thanks so much for coming on the show, A.J. And this is Jack Wilenchek signing off on Independent Talk, Legalese, 1100 KFNX.
Can you trust your AC or heat pump this summer? For over 40 years, Norris Air has been a family-owned AC and heating contractor with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. With Coleman Heating and Cooling Products, you'll get years of efficient, worry-free air conditioning and heating in your home. A new Coleman high-efficiency indoor system with a variable speed fan is nearly twice as efficient as older models. Call Norris Air today at 480-832-3330. And ask about the new Color Touch thermostat with the capability to control the temperature of your home from your smartphone or tablet. Call Norris Air today at 480 832-3330 for a free in-home evaluation on a high-efficiency Coleman system. We offer GE financing and a manufacturer's rebate. Through KFNX, we're offering a free service call with repair. Or visit our website at norrisairinc.com for other discounts. Call 480-832-3330, norrisairinc.com.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek.